Welcome to the world's first Straight Talk Solarcast. This is your go-to podcast for answers about solar. Brought to you by Solar Harmonics in Northern California, who invite their customers to own their energy by purchasing a solar panel system for their home, business, or farm. Each episode, we discuss questions facing people making the decision to go solar. The solutions to your questions are given to you straight by one of the leading experts in the solar industry, Jamie Duran, president of Solar Harmonics. Feel free to search our library for answers to questions that you're facing when considering solar. And now, here's Adam Duran, our host with the questions, and Jamie Duran, our solar expert with Straight Talk Solarcast.
Okay, welcome to another edition of the Straight Talk Solarcast. And this week, I was going to go ahead and respond to a survey that I got from the SGIP, which is Self-Generated Incentive Plan for battery storage. They wanted my opinion on what's happening in the market. And so instead of just filling out the survey and sending it back, I thought it'd be fun to record the answers to the questions and then put that as a podcast. So without any further ado, I'll skip ahead to the questions that make sense. And let's see, job title is President, Solar Harmonics. Are you knowledgeable about your organization's sales and marketing effort of behind-the-meter storage systems? Yes, according to our records, your organization has been involved with the installation of one or more behind-the-meter storage systems that received an incentive from the SGIP. What that means is, did you help a client get a rebate on the batteries? And yes, we did. Any involvement in your organization has had with the SGIP, and that is SGIP, again, stands for Self-Generated Incentive Program. And so we have done many battery installations. And does your organization continue to actively sell behind-the-meter storage programs? Yes. Although we discourage people from doing so. And then number 15, why not? So we do include this as an option, a battery backup or battery storage for our solar panel systems. And the reason I really try and talk people out of it, there's many reasons, but the first and strongest reason is that in PG&E territory, PG&E customers are subject to net energy metering. And what that means is the any excess solar energy that is generated from the solar panel system is sent back to PG&E for retail credit. And so in the summer, that means any excess power, the customer is getting close to 50 cents per kilowatt hour credit on their electricity bill, while the nighttime rate is only 12 to 14 cents. So if that person had a 10 kilowatt battery, instead of getting essentially $5 of credit for that 10 kilowatt hours of battery storage, they would actually be using that battery for their nighttime power, in essence. And so then they would have to, you know, the nighttime power, 10 times 14 cents, so it's $1.40. So every day that they're using the battery, they are essentially trading $5 of credit for $1.40 of benefit. Doesn't make any financial sense. And so I don't see how batteries in net energy metering territories ever make any financial sense. Could they make emotional sense? Absolutely. Could they make, people that just want that, they want to store their own power that they're generating? Oh, heck yeah, that makes sense. The other parts, there's a million other reasons, but the one of the other big ones is the SGIP rebate does not apply to battery backups. So I see tons and tons of advertising about, PG&E power goes out, you need to have a battery backup. Well, I 100% disagree with that because number one, PG&E is pretty reliable. There's really not a lot of areas in, urban areas or suburban areas where PG&E goes out for more than, 2 hours a year. So, spending all the money on a larger solar panel system because you need more panels, on a battery system just to hopefully have the battery available when you need it. 10 kilowatt hours, which is most battery sizes, not a lot of storage. So, I mean, it'll really, will it keep a refrigerator on? No, not really. Will it run an air conditioner? No, not really. Will it charge up a cell phone? Yes. Will it charge, you know, will it allow you to run your computer? Probably. But it's 10 kilowatt hours goes really quick. And if the power is out for quite a long time, more than likely you're not going to be generating enough power to keep the lights on and so forth. So the other part is that the SGIP rebate does not apply to battery storage. It is supposed to be for essentially using the battery during the day, so we're reducing the load of power during peak times. And so you have to sign an affidavit in order to get the rebate saying that you will not be using your battery system for battery storage. So I'm a bit confused by all the advertisements I see that they're advertising a rebate, the state rebate that's going to be closing soon for batteries, when it's it doesn't even apply to backup power. So hopefully the SGIP people are going back and auditing all of these clients and these companies. And I would be really curious to see what the outcome is going to be if these people were sold a battery backup and also got a rebate, because in my mind that's fraud. So the next part that doesn't make any sense to me is that, especially in the battery backup, is that most power outages are probably going to be weather related in California. So if there's a big hurricane or, you know, big rainstorm that knocks out the power, most times that's going to happen in the winter times. And in the winter, that's when the sun hours are at their very lowest. And so, you know, 1 to 2 sun hours per day on average is about normal in December or January. And if the power goes out, let's just say it's been cold, rainy, dark for about a week, the power goes out and there's nothing in the battery. So it's my absolute worst nightmare to get a call 11:30 at night on Christmas Eve, having a customer screaming at me that their power went out and this battery storage system that they bought from me doesn't have any power in it, and I've ruined their Christmas. And so, because they don't have any power and there's nothing in the battery. So again, with the battery backups, we highly recommend, if somebody's buying it for backup power, we strongly recommend they get a generator, a backup generator, rather than a battery backup system. So a million other reasons, but you know, another reason just came to mind is that the batteries, they degrade, and they degrade a lot. About 10% a year is what they're getting. So if they start off with 10 kilowatt hours in the first year, the next year, 9 kilowatt hours and so forth. So, you know, after 5 years, they're only at about half their capacity. After 10 years, there's almost, you know, time to get a new one. And so that's, you know, a lot of times people want to have that power and they want to have the battery backup or battery storage, but essentially it's losing 10% every year. So does it make financial sense? No, in my opinion. And I'm a finance person by trade, so looked at these a lot. Even with the 30% tax credit, in my mind, you're still trading a 40 cent or 50 cent kilowatt hour during the day credit for a 14 cent, you know, essentially savings, really no savings. So you're trading a 50 cent for a 14 cent, and that can never make any sense to me. So let's see, number 16, please describe your organization's role in behind the meter energy storage market. We are a solar installer. What percentage behind the meter storage products are you involved with, purchase versus lease? We did 100% purchase. Leases make no financial sense, again, because essentially if you're going to get a rebate and a tax credit, it doesn't make sense to give that away. Does your organization primarily sell lease standalone solar PV system, standalone behind the meter storage, or combined PV? I'd say we are standalone PV systems mostly. What percentage of your solar PV and behind the meter storage is in the residential market? I'd say 50%. And let's see, the rest of it is based on target market. So I'd like to find out about the customer markets your organization serves and the specific energy storage products you offer for sale or lease. Which types of customers do you consider your primary target? I'd say residential. Why do you target? Because we can reach the decision makers much faster. For how long have these customer segments been your primary target? Is it 11 years? Please describe your behind-the-meter storage product line. Is the LG Chem RES or the LG Chem 10 kilowatt hour battery, along with the Store Edge inverter from Solar Edge? What are your typical end-use customer costs to purchase and install the behind-the-meter systems? It depends on which size they want and what options they want. Typical behind-the-meter storage costs for end users on top of purchase and installation. This is a great question because to get the rebate, we have to plan on anywhere from 10 to 40 hours of office time to get all of the paperwork together. And that is not a small amount of work for each battery project. So unfortunately, when we sell a battery project, it's not just for the equipment. We essentially have to charge for our office time to get the rebate for the customer. So we don't even see any of the rebate, but we're investing about 40 hours to get the rebate for the customer. So we have started charging for this time, and it's not a small amount. It probably adds about $1,000 to the project, which is, to me, that's a lot of money to spend on the processing of this, the back and forth, endless back and forth, until there must be over 100 requirements that have to be denoted on the application process. And that's just insane. So we would definitely have to add on for that. The other part is on the customer service side. So the customers are not upset with the SGIP people on how long it takes to get their rebate, which typically 6 months is what we're quoting. Best case, we're telling them 18 months, worst case, in order to get their rebate back. But they never get upset with the SGIP people, they're getting upset with us. So as I mentioned, we're investing a lot of time, energy, and effort to get this rebate, and it's only a lose-lose situation for us. So we cannot get the rebate fast enough. Even if we got it on the first day, it would not be fast enough for these clients. They feel that they've spent the money and we are holding on to their money. So every day is we just get bombarded from these clients who want to know what's the status of their rebate. And we definitely do our best, and we try and set it up that it's not us, but we're doing our best. And unfortunately, there's only a downside for us selling batteries. From a customer success, they can only get mad at us. We cannot get the rebate done fast enough for them. And then let's see, next I'd like to ask you a few questions about the marketing methods your organization uses when selling BTM or behind the meter storage systems. Please describe the strategies, approaches your organization uses to promote the purchase of energy storage systems. We include a battery option in every one of our solar proposals that when we review with a client. And many, many times clients ask us about batteries, they want them ahead of time, and we do our best to turn them off to it. And we explain the financial reasons and the practical reasons for them as well. And sometimes we do our best to talk them out of it, and they still want it, and we will go ahead and get it done for them. But we tell them it's not a fast process, it's not an easy process, and it will take quite a long time, not only to get the battery rebate, but the PG&E process is much more involved on a battery backup system. So we tell them, you know, your solar panels might be producing, but we cannot turn them on until we have PG&E approval. We cannot go through the normal PG&E approval process. It has to go through their battery system. And then that adds, I would say, at least a month onto that process, because it's a lot more hands touching the system. So we have to let them know that ahead of time as well. It says, do you use any proactive methods where you reach out to potential customers to generate leads for behind the meter storage? No, we do not. Because again, I don't feel it's a successful or a useful way of promoting solar panel systems, and batteries have been not helpful in this process. They actually make it much more difficult to have someone go solar in a reasonable amount of time. How successful have your methods been? I'd say pretty zero, pretty close, and we discourage it dramatically. Marketing messages. It says, I'd also like to learn about the specific messages and information your organization provides to customers when reaching out to sell BTM storage systems. What benefits do you emphasize in your marketing? Really, all I do is talk about the negatives. I really still have yet to find why in the world would anyone want to have a battery backup system when they can get a much better, essentially PG&E is their real-time battery. PG&E is giving them credit on their electricity bill. And now with the advent of the community choice aggregation plans where they can actually get retail credit on their true up bill up to, you know, with MCE, Marine Clean Energy, they get $5,000 that MCE will actually pay them at the end of the year. It's insane that they would want to stick it into a battery. So not the only way I would say it makes sense is like in City of Alameda, they have eliminated their net energy metering program. So excess power, those customers get zero. So in those cases, we definitely think where there's no net energy metering, that is where batteries will make a lot of sense. If PG&E ever gets rid, or the CPUC gets rid of net energy metering systems, then batteries will be an absolute necessity for solar panel systems. So on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is not at all important, 5 extremely important, how important are the following items in your behind the meter sales messaging? So energy bill savings, 0. Remember, scale of 1 to 5. Reduction in demand charges, 0. Improving the reliability of the customer's electric supply, 0. Provision of backup power during an outage, 0. Participation in demand response programs. So if you're a commercial client, they have to actually pay a demand charge. I'll probably talk about that on a upcoming podcast of what that actually is and why solar helps with that immediately. Not quite immediately, but this is one of the benefits that for commercial buildings and commercial clients, the batteries say that they really help with. So we'll talk more about that. Ability to use more of the solar the customer generates, 0. Investment tax credit, 1. SGIP, negative 1, negative 5. Other benefits response, I'd say a 1. Next question, how much as a percentage of their annual bill do you say the customers will be able to save just with solar? And, you know, one of the nice parts of the net energy metering, let's just say a customer is using on an annual basis 10,000 kilowatt hours. Well, we don't need to install 10,000 kilowatt hours of production from the solar panel systems. We can install, let's just say, 8,000. And then because of the net energy metering, the customer is receiving credit on their electricity bill. So a kilowatt hour during peak time is worth essentially 3 kilowatt hours at night. So the result is we don't have to install 10,000 kilowatt hours worth of solar production. We can install 8,000 and still get to 100% offset of their electricity bill. So with batteries, if that power is going into the battery, we now have to install 10,000 kilowatt hours of solar production. So it's kind of crazy. How much do you say they will be able to save? I tell them it's going to actually cost them much more on their system. What percentage of the customer's load during an outage do you typically estimate will be served? We say 10%, if that. How much does the federal investment tax credit factor into your decision to promote solar PV paired with behind-the-meter storage? 1%. What features of SGIP do you promote? 0. Do you address whether solar PV systems with storage are preferable or required compared to solar without storage? Yes, all the time. We definitely promote solar without storage. If so, let's see, we don't. And if so, what additional benefits or requirements do you indicate for solar PV systems with storage as compared to solar PV systems without storage? We've already talked about a lot of them, but the main ones, that solar without storage is the net energy metering credit. You don't have depreciating equipment. You don't have to fill out, you know, you don't have to lie about the SGIP saying that it's not available for backup power, so forth and so on. So lots and lots of reasons. Do you provide the customer with information on the economics of the investment, payback period versus storage and solar PV together? Absolutely. Every single proposal, we calculate the savings and the payback period. Do you mention anything about net energy metering? If so, what do you tell them? I tell them everything about net energy metering. I tell them about community choice aggregation and why it probably makes more sense now to install more solar panels than it did before. Instead of going for 100% offset, it may make sense to go for 110 or 120% of what they are using now. People's electricity rates or usage is tending to increase, especially as we're using more air conditioning and so forth, and electric cars and so forth. Do you provide information about the impact of changing time of use rates on the economics of storage systems? What information do you provide? Yes, we do. We let them know why solar makes so much sense, especially with time of use rates, and why it makes more sense when they're going solar to use the time of use rate rather than the tiered system that they were previously on. And that's because solar kilowatt hours are very valuable, and the amount of power, you know, solar is most effective when PG&E rates are the highest. And so that's why any power they can push to after 9 p.m., for example, running a dishwasher, running the air conditioner, running the pool pumps, things like that, they can produce after 9, before 7 a.m., to push as much credit during the day as they can makes a huge financial sense for them. And the batteries inhibit that. So it again, doesn't make any sense. So let's see, drivers and barriers. Next few questions concern the drivers and barriers you've observed to your customers' adoption behind the meter storage systems. What do you believe are the current near-term drivers to customer adoption of storage systems? How do these vary by size type of customer? So commercial customers, it could make financial sense if they are using a huge amount of power during the middle of the day. I talked a little bit about the demand charges. And what a demand charge is if you are a business and let's just say in one day in July, you used 100,000 kilowatt hours in one day. And it's just an example. But normally you use, say, 20,000 kilowatt hours. Well, PG&E takes that demand and they essentially reserve that $100,000 kilowatt hour or level of usage, and then they charge you for that for the rest of the year just in case you hit that amount. So it's kind of like an insurance policy for PG&E that they will reserve that amount of power just in case you need it. But now you're paying for it for the rest of the year. And so the way solar helps with that is because now you're not having those giant spikes, especially with batteries. The power can be stored into the batteries. And so if you do have that spike of 100,000 kilowatt hours, you're not gonna get crushed by the amount of demand charges that'll happen. That doesn't apply to the residential side, at least not now. So that could be one thing, is if PG&E decides to put in demand charges for clients, then solar is gonna be an even bigger no-brainer than it is right now. So relationship between purchase of solar PV, photovoltaic, and purchase of behind-the-meter storage. Does either technology drive the sales of the other? Well, yeah, of course. It's, without solar, then people would not even be considering having a battery. So, of course, it drives it. But we are, again, not in favor of it. And then if both selling combined solar storage, do you find the customer's decision to install solar or the amount of solar PV they install is influenced by their decision to install behind the meter storage, so battery storage? I would say no. What percentage of the time do you find each of the following? Typically, a customer's decision to install storage influences their decision to install solar. Typically, a customer's decision to install storage influences the amount of PV, zero. Typically, a customer's decision to purchase solar PV influences their decision to install storage, I'd say 10%. Typically, customers make a joint decision to purchase solar PV and storage, so that's 90%. What do you believe are current and near-term barriers adoption of behind-the-meter storage systems? Oh my gosh. Well, let's just start with net energy metering. That's a big one. So as long as that's around, then it's going to be really challenging to get batteries going. But it's a huge, huge benefit. And sending power back to PG&E and getting that credit is very, very good. And then with the Marin Clean Energy, the community choice aggregation programs that are actually rewarding customers and paying retail rates for the excess power, that is pretty beautiful. So batteries are not going to make a lot of sense in any of those instances. How do you address the perceived barriers in order to make the sale? We don't. We discourage them. It's in our best interest to have a happy customer, not a customer that in a year from now says, hey, what benefit am I getting from this battery? It's really cool and it looks great, but what's the benefit? And if we just say, well, you had a full battery all year, great. But, that's something, all right. But no specific benefits that we can point to. And so it's in our best interest to have happy customers that are ecstatic about their solar panel systems rather than, did I just waste $10,000 on this battery that is really just hanging on the wall and not doing anything? In general, what suggestions do you have for utilities regulated? Oh boy, do I have a lot of this. I wish I would have started this one. So the first one, if they really, really, really want to get storage going, number one, institute the demand charge for residential systems. Number two, eliminate net metering in California or wherever. Number three, eliminate the community choice aggregation programs. Really force customers that have solar or are considering solar that solar and batteries together, if you do not have a battery, you are losing the excess power that your panels are generating. That will 100% change every customer's perspective on going solar and not having or having a battery storage systems. What do you estimate is a typical payback or IRR for storage systems? It's negative. There is no payback, again, because of the net metering. You're trading a 50-cent kilowatt hour for a 14-cent kilowatt hour. That makes no sense whatsoever. What percentage, roughly, of a customer's storage system costs do you estimate are offset by the SGIP? So once they do get it, now keep in mind, they've had to wait 6 months, 18 months for this rebate. And then crazy part, SGIP is the rebate is taxable. So it's like income. And so you now have to pay federal and state income tax on it. So get ready to say goodbye to a lot of that as well. And then what share of your organization's storage sales are in California versus US? I'd say 100%. What percent of your organization's storage sales are incentivized to the SGIP? I would say 100%. How hard would it be to sell storage systems without the SGIP incentive? Extremely hard. what is the effect of the SGIP had on your company sales? Zero. What impact do you have expected to have in the future? Zero. Please elaborate. We just don't promote it. We don't think it's a good program at all. It only sets us up for failure, for frustration on the customer side. So it's certainly not worth the risk of us promoting it. And until the financial incentives are changed for someone to have a battery backup system, the solar storage market, in our opinion, can only be sold through deceitful, unfortunately. It just does not make financial sense. So the companies that are selling it are really doing it just to make the sale, in our opinion. So that is all. That was a long, long one. So I talked essentially for 28 minutes straight. And this was a long, long response. I hope you found it useful. I hope you got a taste into what the SGIP and the CPUC are looking for when it comes to storage systems. And hopefully you got something out of why storage systems, at least right now, do not make sense from our perspective. So please, as always, feel free to email us at straighttalksolarcast@solarharmonics.com. Check out our Facebook page at Straight Talk Solarcast. And thank you again. Have a great week and go solar. Bye.
That's all for now. thank you for listening to this episode of Straight Talk Solarcast with solar expert Jamie Duran. Join us each week for more answers to your solar questions. Speaking of questions, got some? Email us at solarcast@solarharmonics.com and we'll be sure to give you an answer in an upcoming episode. This episode of Straight Talk Solarcast is brought to you by Solar Harmonics, the leading solar energy developer in Northern California, who invite you to own your energy. Visit them on the web at www.solarharmonics.com.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.